He met Emily Bishop in a coffee shop in a small shopping center near the town common. She wore the gray t-shirt she had promised to wear. It was too big for her. Property of Swampscott Athletic Department was printed across the front. Below the t-shirt were baggy blue jeans held up by wide blue suspenders. Her feet were up on the chair next to her. She was wearing lace-up black boots with thick soles. Her hair was very short. Her face was without makeup. A pack of Marlboros lay on the table in front of her. She was smoking and drinking coffee. He wondered if Billy looked like her. Jesse stopped at the counter and got a large coffee with cream and sugar and brought it over to the table where Emily was sitting. She'd already decided who he was. "I'm Jesse Stone," he said. "Show me your badge," Emily said. She had a flat, unpleasant voice. Jesse showed her his badge. "Christ," she said, "the fucking chief." "It's nothing," Jesse said. "So what happened to my sister?" Emily said. There was no way to soften it. Jesse had long since learned just to say it. "We think she was shot in the head and dumped in a lake in Paradise." "You think?" "Body is hard to identify." "So why do you think it's my sister?" Jesse told her. Emily smoked her cigarette and drank some coffee and listened with no expression. "Billy, Billy," she said when Jesse finished. Jesse took a sip of his coffee. He waited. Emily dropped her cigarette into the half inch of coffee in the bottom of her cup. "Christ, didn't they fuck her up," Emily said. "Parents?" "Of course parents probably fucked me up too, except I got out in time. Maybe." How and why they had fucked up their daughters was interesting, but it didn't lead Jesse anywhere he wanted to go at the moment. "Do you have a picture of your sister?" Jesse said. "Not her alone," Emily said, "but I got a picture in the dorm of her and me and Carla." "I'd like to borrow it," Jesse said. "I promise I'll get it back to you." Emily nodded. "When they kicked Billy out," Jesse said, "do you know where she went?" "Someplace in Boston." "Do you know where?" "No, some nun runs it." "A shelter?" "I guess." "She get along okay with Hooker?" Jesse said. "Hooker was nice to her," Emily said. "Anybody that might have harmed her. Half the guys in high school were bopping her, probably some older guys too." "Any names?" "No, I don't know. She thought it made her more popular. I didn't want to hear about it." "Anything else you can tell me that might help?" Emily lit another cigarette and inhaled deeply and let it out slowly through her nose. There was something practiced about it, Jesse thought, as if it were a trick recently learned. "I got a letter from her back in my room," she said. "I think she said the nun's name on it. Can we get that when I pick up the picture?" "Yeah, sure." They were silent. Jesse watched her smoke. He could see her eyes well, but she didn't cry. "You okay?" he said. "Yeah, sure." "Can we get the picture and the letter?" "Yeah, sure." They left the coffee shop and walked to the campus. Jesse thought how different it would feel to go there and graduate. Old stone, old trees, wide paths, white houses with dark shutters, green grass in spring, new snow glistening in winter. Different from being a desert high school grad with a sore arm. In Emily's room, there were clothes on the floor in a pile. The bed was unmade. On her desk, books and papers were jumbled with no pattern. Amidst the jumble was a framed picture of the Bishop family, in color, all smiling at the camera. "How old is the picture?" Jesse said. "Last summer." Jesse stared at it while Emily looked in her desk drawer and in a moment came out with the letter. It was postmarked July 3rd. Emily handed it to him and Jesse took it. She picked up the picture and handed it to Jesse. "The happy family," Emily said. Jesse took the picture. "Hope Carla gets out before they get her, too." Jesse didn't comment. There wasn't any comment to make. "They aren't going to get me," Emily said. "I'm out of there. I'm on my own, and I'm never going back." "Your father still pay your tuition?" "Of course he does. You think he wants to have his daughter drop out of a seven fucking sisters school?" "Good to be able to count on something," Jesse said. "Fuck him," Emily said. "He owes it to me. I'll take him for everything he's got if I can." Quite suddenly, she began to cry. Jesse put an arm on her shoulder. She shrugged it off and stepped away from him. He stood quietly in the room without touching her until she stopped crying. "You got someone to talk to?" Jesse said. She nodded. Shrink? She nodded again. Jesse took out a card. You think of anything, or you need anything. He handed her the card. She looked at it as if it meant more than it did. You'll do that? Jesse said. Yes. Might be good if you called your shrink, Jesse said. She didn't speak or move. Jesse stood for another moment, and then he left. Jesse stood in the open slider of his condo, looking out over his balcony toward Paradise Neck. Below the balcony, the black water of the harbor moved with aimless purpose against the rust-colored rocks. Jesse liked the sound. He would like it even more with a drink. He knew the girl was Billy Bishop. He couldn't exactly prove it yet, but he knew. He knew there was something wrong in the Bishop house. Were the girls being molested? They seemed angry, especially Emily. He thought about how pleasant it would be to sit on his balcony with a tall scotch and soda and look at the harbor and listen to the gentle sway of the Atlantic Ocean and not think about molestation. He wondered if Emily was a lesbian. As the evening lengthened, it grew dark enough for the lights of the big houses on the neck to show across the harbor. He wished Jen were here. He wished they could sit together and look at the ocean and the far lights. He got up and walked into his kitchen. He took a glass down from the cupboard, 16 ounces, the kind you got when you ordered a pint of Guinness. He filled the glass with ice cubes, poured 2 inches of Dewars into the glass, and opened a can of club soda and filled the rest of the glass with it. He took a spoon from the drawer and stirred the glass until the colorless soda diluted the amber scotch evenly. He took a sip. Perfect. He brought the glass out onto the balcony and sat down with his feet on the railing. He drank another sip. There was no hurry to get it in. There was a half gallon in there on the kitchen counter. There were 12 cans of soda in the cupboard. The ice maker in the refrigerator was perpetual. He was only going to have a couple, but it was comforting to know that there was enough. There was enough moonlight for Jesse to see the boats waiting at their moorings. Toward the outer harbor, a single boat with bow lights cut across the harbor toward the town wharf. Jesse had another sip. Probably the harbor master. It was Friday night. He wasn't scheduled to see Jen until Wednesday. From the deck, Jesse could smell the hint of clams frying at the Gray Gull, 2 blocks away. The smell was comforting. He thought about Billy Bishop's picture. It was better to think about her in the picture. In the picture, she was smiling, probably doing what she was told to do. Cops see kids like Billy too often. Town pump. Kids so desperate for affection or connection or whatever it was that sex became their handshake. They were joyless encounters, as far as he knew. For certain, it was not pleasure that drove girls like Billy to flop for anybody. His drink was gone. One more. He got up and went to the kitchen and made another one, and brought it back to the deck. The scotch made him feel integrated, complete. Not a wild drunk, Jesse thought, mostly quiet, mostly the booze enriched him. Jen wasn't nasty about his drinking. She had too much psychotherapy not to understand the struggle. But she didn't know the feeling that when you were feeling it made it one you wouldn't want to miss. Why would someone shoot a kid like Billy? She could have been simply wrong place, wrong time, but that theory led him nowhere. Better to think about promiscuity. He took a swallow of scotch and soda. Sex was the only thing he knew about her that could have gotten her killed. From the parking lot, out of sight of his balcony, Jesse heard a car door slam and the sound of brisk high heels. The front hall door of Jesse's building opened and closed. Jesse took another swallow. Sometimes on Wednesdays, when Jen came, they would have sex. Often, they would not. Depended mostly, he guessed, on what was going on in her therapy. He also was pretty sure that if she were having sex with someone else, she wouldn't have sex with him, and vice versa. It was an odd standard, Jesse thought, but it was a standard. He had no such standard. He would sleep with Lily Summers on a Tuesday and Jen on a Wednesday and be pleased about both. Though he knew that if his relationship with Jen hinged on it, he would develop such a standard on the spot. He smiled a little that he was having sex with a school principal. He drank some scotch. He wondered about Marcy Campbell. Maybe it was time to have sex with her again. Also, Jesse Stone at stud. And he was going to find the son of a bitch who killed that kid, too. His drink was gone. He looked at the glass for a long moment. He didn't want to give up the sense of wholeness. He took in some air and let it out slowly. Out loud, he said, "Fuck it," his voice intrusive in the pale darkness. Then he stood and went to the kitchen and made another drink.